Hey everybody, welcome to The Blind Spot. I'm your host, Jason Pulaski, and I'm glad to be back. Glad you're listening. I have no guests today. I'm recording this from bed. I'm lying down because I have a hernia. It really sucks. Everybody asks me how I got it, like what I did to get it. As far as I know, I didn't do anything to get it, but I certainly have it now. And I'm not happy about it. When I am not lying down, it's gross because it's a hernia and it hurts. So I've been spending a lot of time in bed, which sounds cool, but it isn't. You know, after an hour of being in bed, I want to get up and start walking around, moving around, you know? And I can't really, because as soon as I do that, I have a hernia. Well, I mean, I suppose I have one either way. But, you know, hernias are gross. If you don't have one and have never had one, my advice is don't get one. I have surgery, but it's not for a while. I'm very, very unhappy about it. This doesn't really have anything to do with today's show, I don't think. But if you can't complain that you have a hernia on your own podcast, you know, where can you? So, I mean, consider this my complaint. I'm really pissed. I don't want this hernia. I have one. I can't work out with this. I can't do anything physically, really. And I'm pissed. It sucks. You know, what God would allow such evil to exist in the world like my hernia? You know, I do have something to talk about today. And, you know, I'm going to talk about it because it's my show. I get to talk about whatever I want. That's the greatest part about having a podcast, is that everybody, oh my God, I hate my life. I can't even, this is why I hate having no guests. The greatest part about having a podcast is that I can talk about whatever I want, and you get it off my chest. I rant and rave to my friends all the time, and I feel like they don't care. I act like I have a podcast with them. I'll go on for like 8 minutes and be like, that's how I feel about that. And they're like, oh, okay. And, you know, may not be socially appropriate. So I have a show now and I can rant and rave to you. And if you want to stop listening, you can just click stop. Please don't do that though. Bad for my fucking views. Anyway, what I want to talk about is American politics. And really presidential politics. I know that's tiring. I know we're all tired. I'm sorry, you know, but we got to talk about it anyway. And I think part of the problem is we so infrequently have civil, respectful conversations about politics, especially when we disagree. I think there's a lot of, like, you know, you're Nazis and own the libs and stuff. And, like, it's just becoming really polarized and really tribal and very bad. And so I seek to have a one-sided conversation that is nonetheless not tribal and not polarizing. Well, sorry, it'll probably be polarizing if you don't agree with me. But I hope to do this in as respectful of a way as I'm capable, which we'll see how that goes. But I want to start this by talking about the Republican primary as it is now. I always worry nobody knows anything. Like, as I sit here and talk about presidential politics and talk about primaries, you know, I worry, like, a lot of people listening hardly even know what primaries are. So, I'm going to tell you. I mean, primaries are how each of the two parties in this country nominates their candidate for president. You know, you win enough primary elections, each state has one primary election, then you get the nomination of your party and can run against the other party for president. So right now in the Republican primary, there's Nikki Haley and Donald Trump. And Donald Trump is metaphorically beating the shit out of her. It's not even close. Trump's winning, you know, 60-65%. To Haley's 35-40%. You know, and Trump's going to win. It would take an act of God or something that looked very much like one for Nikki Haley to win this nomination. I mean, she's getting her ass kicked so far, which is surprising to almost nobody. Probably not even to Nikki Haley. So Trump's going to win, and then Trump's going to run again as the Republican nominee for president. Oh, fuck. I'm sorry if it's unprofessional to yawn, but I'm lying in bed. It's difficult not to. Anyway, Trump is going to get the Republican nomination for president and run against Joe Biden, who has the Democratic nomination, and that's going to be the election, unless one of them dies or unless, I don't know. I don't know what would happen to make that not the election. I mean, it's possible something does, but very unlikely. So, I think that what Nikki Haley's doing is taking some guts, because otherwise, I mean, she's losing so bad, and all trends say that she's just going to lose. So every primary election she stays in it for, I admire her because politicians are like weak-willed people mostly, and have very little courage. So, like, when a politician displays any courage at all, they have less courage than normal people. So, you know, it's noteworthy. There's an old joke. Kennedy wrote a book called Profiles in Courage, and somebody said there's a reason it's a short book. The joke being that these politicians have none. So, you know, I admire Nikki Haley. I was going to vote for... Is it Holly or Haley? I don't even care. Holly. Holly? Nikki Haley? Fuck. I don't care. Whatever. I admire the former UN ambassador and governor of South Carolina. And now I'm just obsessing how to pronounce her last name. I can't remember. Oh, that's great. Anyway, I admire her a lot for running. I wish she'd win. She won't. But like, and it's sad, you know, because politicians who don't or who know they won't win usually become pretty honest. Because they know what they say doesn't make a difference because they're going to lose. You saw that with Chris Christie when he was running in the Republican primary last year. He knew he wasn't going to win, so it didn't matter what he said. So he just basically told the truth. You know, if he thought he was going to win, he couldn't do that. And like, you know, I'm not really talking right now to people who like who don't like Trump. Because I'm going to say stuff you probably agree with for the most part. The people I really want to talk to are the people who like Trump or feel neutral about Trump or really like Trump. You know, the first thing I want to say is, you know, I know that a lot of people on the left are like rude about it. And they call you Nazis and fascists and whatever and racists and stuff. I'm not doing that. I don't think that's true for most of you. I think that if you took the racist vote, at least for white people, most of those people would vote Trump. Like the Stormfront people and the Ku Klux Klan. Yeah, Trump has that vote locked up. I mean, that's why he wouldn't disavow David Duke. It's why he made the comments he made about the Proud Boys at the first debate with Joe Biden. You know, he knows that he has, like, white supremacist support. But I don't think there are all that many white supremacists in this country. It's an overblown issue. The left likes to trot out because it gets people all riled up. Ironically, white people being one section that seems more riled up about it than most other groups. On the left, I mean. So I'm not going to do that. I don't find that useful. I mean, it's no more useful than calling Democrats like libtards or whatever. Or whatever they're called by the right. You know, it's just not... This is why we have a problem. Is because half of our politics is simply, like, tribal insulting. And, from a... You know, it's like everybody, or most people, have deep convictions. And, like, what's happening is, you know, both sides assume the worst motivations of the other side. And then yell about it. And that's stupid. You know, I see it happening. Mostly online. People seem far more polite in person. Naturally. And, you know, I think it's very bad. I'm worried about it. The quote that keeps occurring to me is, Lincoln said, "A house divided cannot stand." And he was right. It can't. And we're getting too divided in this country. We gotta stop it. But that being said, I'm gonna talk a bunch of shit about Donald Trump now. Sorry. But I want you to understand that, like, I don't really hold much ill will, if any, towards Trump voters. Not most of you. I knew 7 or 8 people who voted for Trump in 2016, and a similar number in 2020. My grandmother, rest in peace, voted for Trump. My buddy Ernest, who didn't vote, but if he had, he would have voted for Trump. I don't want to name everybody else. Oh, Ernest is dead too, so it's okay. I don't want to name the living, but I knew a bunch of people who were voting for Trump. Many of them were smart people. All of them were good people. So I just don't find that this, like, name-calling and, like, shit like that is helpful. But, your candidate sucks. Sorry, again. But, you know, and it's not for the reasons that you think I'm not saying he sucks for the reasons you might think. I'm going to talk about this. So, here's the thing. There are two parties in this country. It's Republicans and Democrats. Sorry, two parties that matter. There are a bunch of tiny third parties, but only morons and radicals are attracted to them. I mean, if you are part of the Green Party or the Libertarian Party, or, oh, I don't know, whichever little parties there are in this country, you're an idiot. I mean, because those parties have no traction. You're throwing your vote away for nothing. Like, Bakari Sellers always comes to mind, who, like, proudly trumpets his membership in the Green Party. I mean, you can't fix stupid. So, there's that. So, there are two parties that matter in this country. They're Republicans and Democrats. So, it means that you gotta choose between those two. So, either you're a Republican or you're a Democrat, or you're an independent who votes one way or the other. Republican or Democrat. Or you're a moron who throws your vote away to a third party. There are occasionally people who run as independents and do well. Lisa Markowski from Alaska, I believe, ran as an independent. And won. But those aren't third-party candidates. Those are people running as, like, non-affiliated. But they usually have the backing of one of the two parties. So my point here is that if you don't vote for Joe Biden, but you want to vote and you want to make it matter, you vote for Donald Trump. It's just how the system is. And it's the other way around, too. If you want to vote and make your vote matter and don't want to vote for Trump, you vote for Biden. If you want your vote to matter. So that means that, like, you have two serious options for president. And, like, the world is way more complicated than a binary. So many people vote for both men who, you know, don't agree with much of either one. Because you pick, basically, I don't like this word exactly, but the lesser of two evils, you know. Because that's just how it works here. So it means that if you don't like what Joe Biden is doing, and you think you'd like what Trump was doing slightly more than what Joe Biden is doing, you vote for Trump. And a lot of people do that. I mean, and there are single-issue voters as well. So you vote because you're pro-choice, or you vote because you're pro-gun, or you vote because you want higher taxes, or you want lower taxes, or, you know, you're so upset, you're obsessed with a thing that one president will do, or, you know, you vote on Israel-Gaza, one way or the other, you know. So there's plenty of reasons to vote either way. I want to get that out of the way. Just because I feel like some people don't think about it like that. I hear when people talk, mostly online, like when they talk about, quote unquote, the other side, you know, they seem to think that, like, a person who votes for one side, like, if you vote for Joe Biden or if you vote for Donald Trump or you're a Republican senator or you're a Democratic senator, it seems like a lot of people think or pretend to think that, like, you endorse all the positions of the person you're voting for by voting for them. And in a practical way, that's true because you enable that politician to do some shit if they win. But, you know, also, it's not true because you have to pick. For example, I think that Joe Biden is against the death penalty. If he's not, let's just pretend he is, and is as an example. Now, if I vote, it'll be for Joe Biden, 100%. Does it mean that I'm against the death penalty? No, it doesn't. I'm for the death penalty. If you commit first-degree murder or rape, or you torture somebody over the course of days and kill them, or you embezzle $1 million from people, sorry, I meant to say $1 billion, if you embezzle a huge amount of money from people, or, I don't know, if you blow up a restaurant with a bunch of people inside it, you know, or if you commit treason against the United States, I think we should have the right as a country to kill you, after trial. I don't think that you should be able to premeditatively murder somebody and know for a fact you aren't going to be facing the death penalty. I don't think you should be able to rape somebody and know they won't kill you. And that applies to the other crimes I just listed as well. There are animals outside my window distracting me. Sorry. Birds or something. Anyway, so if I vote for Joe Biden, it doesn't mean that I'm against the death penalty. It means that Mr. Biden is doing a bunch of stuff that I'm for, and so I have to just deal with the fact that him and I don't agree on the death penalty. And, like, you know, it's that, but more complicated. Everybody makes that calculation, you know. There are plenty of you, I'm sure, who might vote for Joe Biden who are appalled by his aiding Israel. And hopefully you'll vote for Mr. Biden anyway and put that aside. And, you know, that's how it goes both on the left and on the right. So, you know, assuming that a person who votes for someone endorses all their positions is wrong, factually. People do it because they just want to be tribalistic. Now, I also want to mention that, like, you know, Trump did a bunch of good things when he was in office. I can list a couple right now, and I will. And I'm doing this so that if anyone is still listening who is thinking of or knows they will vote for Donald Trump, or who supports Donald Trump, or who sort of does, or who doesn't see what all the fuss about, I hope to prove to you that I'm not some rabid liberal hippie. You know. So, Trump did a bunch of good shit. I mean, he authorized creation of the Space Force, which is super important. I mean, it's like our military branch in space. That's only going to get more important as time goes on. It's a little hokey right now, but in 2045, people are going to think it's a normal, common thing. That was good that he did that. Trump tried as hard as he could to crack down on illegal immigrants flooding our southern border. If I was the president, I would close that border tighter than a nun's cunt, and I would deport all the illegal immigrants I could find. I mean, people are talking mad at the governor of Texas for putting barbed wire on our side of the Rio Grande. If it was up to me, I would have put crocodiles in it. So, you know, I fully support what Trump did on illegal immigration, other than separating parents from their children as a psychological deterrent. That's fucked up. Just send them all home. Don't separate families to, like, make them suffer. That's not what I want to do. You either let them in as a family or you send them home as a family. But other than that, there's nobody to the right of me on illegal immigration. So I think that was a good thing Trump did. Trump passed minor criminal reforms that I think are good. They call it the First Step Act. You can Google it if you want to know exactly what it does. But I found that to be a good thing. Let's see what else Trump did that was good. There's a couple other things. Oh, yeah. Trump cut aid to the Palestinians and moved the American embassy in Israel to Jerusalem, which the moving of the embassy is a thing that Bill Clinton had promised to do. And every year, every president since then had said, yeah, we're getting to it. They signed a formal piece of paper saying it was still on the table and then didn't do it. And then Trump did it. So I favor that, because I don't see the need to stay neutral in this conflict anymore. I favor horses who can run. So I'm cool with that. Trump helped broker the Abraham Accords, which gave Israel better relations with its nearest neighbors. They've been bad for Israel's entire existence, and the Abraham Accords normalized them with the United Arab Emirates and Jordan, and I think a couple other countries, maybe Kuwait. I'm blanking on the last one, but that's good. I mean, I think that's good. I think Israel should be part of that community. The tighter Israel integrates into it, the more normalized it is, and that's good for democracy. And so, let me think. I should have made a list. I'm sure there are lists online. Okay, well, I know that I haven't listed all the good things that Trump did. There's other good things that Trump did. Harping on NATO members to raise their military spending is an excellent thing. And questioning how it was that Europeans were buying, and I think still are, which is appalling, were buying Russian energy at the same time they were making a bunch of anti-Russian statements. Yeah, that's worth pointing out a lot. So that's another good thing. In fairness, Obama did that too, and so did Bush. Asked our NATO allies to spend more. You know. But that's a good thing Trump did. And I know I'm missing stuff. There's plenty of other good stuff Trump did. The problem is, I mean, first of all the good shit Trump did is vastly outweighed by all the bad stuff Trump did. I mean, Trump in, I believe it was in Helsinki, he had a meet with Vladimir Putin. And Trump came out after the meeting and standing next to Vladimir Putin said that, you know, he'd asked Putin if Russia had interfered in the 2016 election. And Putin said no, and Trump said he believed him, and that he believed him over our own intelligence agencies, which is absolutely insane. The Russians are liars and have been liars for as far back as I know. Like, lying for them is a common thing they do. Of course the Russians interfered in our election. Putin did not like Hillary Clinton and wanted her to lose. And so he authorized the huge campaign of interference. I mean, our own intelligence communities know this. And Trump didn't believe them and said so publicly. Which undermines, you know, American power and stuff. It's horrendously gross that he did that, you know. And said that he believed some foreigner over us. It's crazy. You know, Trump has always been pro-dictator, though, and pro-authoritarian. I mean, the way he cuddles up to authoritarians and dictators is a weird thing. You know, I understand that, like, given our role in the world, we kind of need some of them. We are allied, for example, with Saudi Arabia. We have a huge amount of trade, for example, with China. Both dictatorships. You know, if you have an iPhone, most of it was made in China. And, like, I mean, if you're a person in the United States who spends money, most of your stuff's bought in China. If you fill your car up with gas, you're probably getting oil from a dictatorship. Either Russia or Saudi Arabia or Egypt or, you know, all the Arab states are dictatorships except for Iraq and Israel. And Israel doesn't export oil. So, you know, we as Americans interact with dictators all the time. Sometimes you need them, you know. All the African countries are run by dictators, and some of those are our allies. So, like, sometimes you need to fuck with dictators, but you don't have to like it. And Trump likes it. Trump, like, you know, trots them out like pets or like his buddies. Hey, look at this guy who fucking runs Egypt and kills people. Hey, he's a cool guy, you know. We don't have to do it like that. We shouldn't. Like I said, I'm no hippie, but, like, America saying pro-human rights things is good for the entire country. Even if we just talk the talk, it helps. And Trump doesn't bother to do that because he's an asshole. So I just listed a bunch of stuff that Trump did that was good. So now I'm going to keep going on with stuff that Trump did that was bad, you know. Trump told the Japanese and the South Koreans that they should get their own nuclear weapons. And also floated the idea that maybe the Saudi Arabians should get their own nuclear weapons too. When for 70 years our goal has been to limit the number of countries that have nukes. Because as soon as a country has nukes, it's a real country that you have to take seriously. Like, you know, as the United States, if we want, or I should say, like, when it becomes in our interests, we can bully countries without nuclear weapons. We have the biggest army in the world and the biggest economy in the world. So when we need to lean on a country and it doesn't have nuclear weapons, we can. As soon as a country has nukes, we really can't do that anymore. And that's bad for us. So just based on that, we shouldn't want more countries to have nukes. This is so obvious, it should not really need saying. So even though Japan and South Korea are our allies, I'm not eager to have them become nuclear armed. Because it sets a bad precedent. I want as few countries having nukes as possible. For the reason that we, the United States, have nukes, and it makes us powerful to have nukes when nobody else does. And also, I trust us far more than I trust other countries, and the more countries have nukes, the more the odds of a nuclear war rise. And nuclear war is bad times for everybody. But Trump always makes a bunch of stupid foreign policy suggestions because he barely understands it and doesn't care. The thing that bothered me about Trump is that he always would say, America first. That was his thing. Listen, you know, I'm as America first as it gets. Second and third, too, you know. Every time I think about either domestic policy or foreign policy, the first question I ask is, what's in the best interests of the United States? And then, as an afterthought, I think, how will this help our allies who are democracies? That's important to me, as well, to help them. But, so it's that, and it's how will this help the U.S., and how will this help our allies? And then, way after that, I think, and what will happen to the rest of the world? But that's not really a relevant question to me, most of the time. Unless what's happening to the rest of the world, affects us. So, for example, I just want to talk about what I'm talking about. I just want to explain what I'm talking about. So, a lot of people say that, you know, the conditions in South and Central America and the states that grow cocaine, by which I mean the coca plant that is then turned into cocaine. So, a lot of people say that the coca-growing states, the drug-growing states, I say state when I mean country a lot. Sorry about that if it confuses you. So the nations that grow and produce the drugs that we in America take are usually badly run because cartels and big gangs take over. Mexico's an excellent example of a semi-failed narco state. So a lot of people say, like, well, you know, this is our fault in the United States for not legalizing cocaine here. I mean, first of all, they're fucking stupid because, you know, even if we legalized coke, we'd probably still be importing it. Maybe that's not true. Sorry, I've had a bunch of coffee. The key point here, though, is that I don't want to legalize cocaine here. Especially not crack, but not coke either. I think it should probably stay illegal. But even if I did want to legalize it, I would never even concern myself with other countries. It's like, listen, we like coke over here. That's our business. What other countries do is their business. If you want to fucking serve our coke market, go ahead and do that. Or, you know, don't do it. But, like, we are not going to set our drug policy based, like we're not going to set our own drug policy because of what the Mexicans are doing. It's like, that's insanity to me. If the Mexicans don't want a fucking big cocaine economy, well, stop growing it then. Stop producing it. Go become, you know, scientists or something. Like, it's not our responsibility. Or our business. You know, what Ecuador does. Or Brazil, or Belize, or Chile. Or Honduras, or Nicaragua, or Guatemala. Or Afghanistan. Which is another huge exporter of, opiates. They grow poppies over there and turn it into dope, you know, and sell it. But I don't want to legalize heroin over here to prevent Afghanistan from making heroin. That's not our business. You see what I'm saying? If we want to legalize heroin, it's because, you know, we've turned into a bunch of hippies and have decided that it'll be fine to legalize heroin, which, for the record, I think is insane. But I never want to do it because some cartel has, like, you know, invaded a country and is now controlling it and producing drugs there. That's not our business. And if it is our business, we're not going to change our domestic laws to change the behavior of foreign nations. Never. That's crazy. That should never even be in anybody's mind. So that's what I mean by my being America first. If we want to decriminalize or legalize cocaine, I know I just sounded pretty adamantly against it before, but I'm open to having that conversation. If you want to explain to me how legalizing coke and crack, or both, or one or the other, is in the national interest of the United States, if you want to explain to me how that's going to make us better as a country, go ahead. I mean, fine, I'm open to listening and talking about it. I've done coke. It's a good drug. I just don't think it should be legal. Because, you know, not because It's a problem to do it every once in a while. But the problem is, you make coke legal, you're going to have a bunch of cokeheads running around crazy. And it's going to fucking damage society, I think. I think it'll damage non-cokeheads. I mean, this is my problem with drugs. It's like, you know, my problem with crack, which is a pretty horrible drug, is not that crack. I don't care about the people doing crack. I don't care about the crackheads. You want to do crack? You go right ahead. That's not my problem. Do crack until your fucking teeth fall out and you're mad paranoid and just a fucking decrepit crackhead. Fine. I mean, that's the choice you made. Go ahead. No different than people getting fat. The problem is that crackheads steal things for crack. And stealing things impacts people who don't do crack. And that's the problem. Like, you know, because we legal... Because people want crack, they're stealing TVs now. And that's the part I care about. Not the crack part. I don't care about that part. It's the stealing TVs part I care about. Because now crackhead behavior is affecting other people. You know, it's like, look. You know, cigarettes, as long as secondhand smoke is not a factor, cigarettes are only hurting the people who are smoking them. So smoke your fucking heart out. I do not care. Like, it doesn't... I don't mean... Okay. I don't mean I don't care. But it's not... It's your business whether you smoke or not. Go ahead and smoke if you want to smoke. Please stop. But, you know, if you don't stop, you're an individual. You're an adult. That's on you. Go ahead. Free country. Smoke away. The problem is, you know, that, you know, let's just say you had no money for cigarettes, so you rob a 7-Eleven and shoot a guy in the head because you wanted a carton of cigarettes. Well, now you've shot a guy. That's a problem. And drugs create that type of crime. Drugs create that type of crime. They create drug-related crime. I would assume 70 to 80% of the criminal activity in this country is drug-related. People are doing drugs and committing crimes for drug money. Or they're, like, shooting each other over drug territory or over business disputes having to do with drugs. And, like, I don't care. Again, so I just got to be clear. Like, I don't care if there are two mafias, and by mafia I mean organized criminal syndicate. If there are two mafias and they shoot each other over drugs and only killed each other, fine. You knew what you signed up for. Rules of the game. Whatever. I'm not saying I wish there wasn't mafia. I wish there was no organized crime. I wish the homicide rate in this country was zero and that everybody got along and there was no crime and nobody ever got beat up and nothing ever got stolen and nobody ever had a psychological hole in their life that made them do drugs. I wish the world was like run like it's Star Trek and everybody was sucking each other's dicks singing Kumbaya. But I live in the real world, you know, so when I say that, like, I don't care if two gangs shoot each other and kill each other, what I mean is, like, look, you know, you're part of a gang. That's what you signed up for. You know the rules of how that works. You're doing illegal business. And, you know, because you haven't figured out a better way to work out your disputes, you shoot each other when illegal business disputes become unnegotiable or when you fight over territory and that's how it goes. So, fine. As long as you're not killing people unaffiliated with that life, that's okay. But the problem is in the real world, you know, most of these guys are bad shots and they kill plenty of innocent people and the major motivation is beef and drugs. So, you know, it means that, like, that's a thing that drug crime is doing. It's indirectly killing a bunch of people who are not involved in it, and that's bad. So, sorry for the side rant, but, like, I think we should keep drugs illegal because they impact, like, because drug crime negatively impacts society, but so do drugs, you know, and making drugs illegal incentivizes them. If you make cocaine legal tomorrow, or ecstasy, or heroin, or Molly, or mushrooms, or, K2. I've done some of these drugs, by the way, most of them. But if you make them illegal or legal, you're going to make it, you're going to incentivize people to do these drugs. You are incentivizing people to do these drugs. And that's, like, you're, I mean, by which I mean, like, you're going to have people who weren't doing them before doing them. Absolutely. Some dumbass is going to be like, oh, heroin's legal now, I'm going to try it. And he never would have tried it before. And then he's going to become a heroin addict. And then he's going to become a less productive member of society. And that's bad. You know, and we can avoid that by making heroin as hard to get as possible. Not easier to get. But anyway, I'm America first. Like, I would never consider the effect on Mexico for any domestic law we ever passed. You know, I understand, for example, that if you live in Africa and you think that you have a shot of sneaking into the United States and living here illegally, you'll take it because you live in Africa. Who wouldn't? You know. But that's not our business. Like, it's not our business that, you know, Africa is a collection of third world countries with bad economic prospects. By which I mean it does not affect our national security. And we don't need you. And if we do need you, we'll ask for you to come here. If we suddenly need 10 million unskilled laborers, we will make that perfectly clear to the rest of the world. And the global poor are not going anywhere. And so we'll get 10 million laborers, if that's what we need, whenever we want them. We don't need to take every Tom, Dick, and Harry, Jane, Liz, and Janine, who happens to walk here. I don't want us accepting walk-ins. Fuck that. I ranted about this for 2 hours the other day on this podcast. I don't need to do it again. Oh, but I want to. But I won't. So, I'm saying, like, my point here is, I understand why, if you're from Senegal, you might want to illegally immigrate to the United States. But in order for me to favor that, I'd have to see it as in the national interest of this country. And as long as I don't, I won't. That's what I mean about America first. I'm America first as hard as it gets. But Trump's America first stuff is stupid. It doesn't actually help us, it just hurts us. He'll say some dumb shit and then say it's putting America first when really it just fucks us over. You know, here's an example. We are allied militarily with most first world countries and most democracies. We have some type of security alliance with most democracies and most developed nations. So, like, developed nations mean rich and stable. Australia, Switzerland, you know, Japan, Taiwan, South Korea, Singapore, Canada, Germany, France, Austria, Britain, etc. You know, and that's good. The reason it's good is because it's good to have allies. So, in the Iraq War, when people got hurt, our people got hurt, we would fly them to Germany because we had military bases there and hospitals there. We didn't have to fly them all the way back to the United States, which would have been longer. And if we had to fly them all the way back to the U.S., people would have died because they didn't have medical care. So German allyship saved American lives because the Germans let us have military bases in their country because we're allied. So that's just one tiny example. But, you know, we have military treaties with many countries that are like mutual defense pacts, so that if we get attacked, they will fight with us. They will, sorry, oh, I apologize. If we get attacked, they will join us in trying to destroy whoever attacked us and vice versa. So if they get attacked, we'll help them. Now, it's very good to have allies because they do things for you. That's the reason we have them. It's not some sentimental, symbolic gesture 90% of the time. Mostly we have allies because, you know, very smart people have looked at it and said, hey, these are the ways that Germany or France or the United Kingdom or the South Koreans or the Japanese, you know, or the Australians will, or the Israelis will be useful to us. And so we will ally with them. It's cold-blooded. And not cold-blooded. It is exactly within our interests, and it is also within our moral framework as a country. We are a democratic form of government. I don't mean Democratic Party. I mean we're a Republican form of government. We vote on stuff and elect people to decide things. And if we don't like them, we unelect them. If that's a word. It's probably not. And it makes me feel good to be allied to other democracies. It's nice that we do that. I'm glad that we are allies with Britain and France, you know, and Canada and Israel, because these, like we are democracies. And it's good to have your own people, you know, friendly with you. The cultural connections provide sympathetic understanding. It's easier to be allied to Britain than it is to Saudi Arabia, for example, because one is a Republican form of government, and the other is an absolute monarchy where they chop your hands off for stealing things. So, Trump is against this whole alliance system. He doesn't see the point in it. But that's what I mean. He's wrong, you know. And, like, withdrawing from our alliances is very bad. Both for the world and for us. Because if we have a war coming up, which, you know, it's been a while, so one's probably coming. We want friends. We don't want to just have no friends and a war and have to fight it all ourselves. We didn't fight World War II by ourselves. You know, we had to fight Vietnam by ourselves and Iraq, and that wasn't that great. You know. So, allies are good, and Trump's an idiot for thinking they're not. You know, Trump has plenty of other miserably bad policy ideas. I don't want to list them all right now. I could, but I just don't feel like it. Just know that, for the most part, I think Trump makes the wrong decisions when it comes to, when he was president. Like, withdrawing from the Paris Climate Agreement was stupid. It was stupid because, you know, it's a non-binding agreement. Paris wasn't legally binding. We don't have to abide by it. Pulling out was just cock-smacking the rest of the world across the face and saying, we don't give a fuck. And that's stupid. Even if you didn't think we should abide by that agreement, we didn't have to leave it. We could have just ignored it and then bullshitted to the world about how we weren't ignoring it. That's why it's stupid. I mean, that's just an example of something that's stupid. So, you know. But I really want to talk about the real reason that I'm against Trump. And the real reason I'm against Trump is because, you know, he attempted to illegally seize power when he lost an election. Now, here's where, if anyone has listened to this long ramble, if this has been entertaining enough to keep you here, and you're a Trump supporter, this is where I feel like I'm about to lose you, so just please bear with me here. So, Trump lost the election to Joe Biden, and then lied about it to everybody, and said he won, and then did everything he could think of to stay in power. He had 60 cases go to court, and all of them were denied because there was no merit to any of them. That was one thing he did. He lied to the public and said he won repeatedly because, you know, people like you who support Trump, he knew that you would believe him. So he just lied to you, you know, because he knew that a big group of people backing his election loss as a win would help him maybe stay in power. He called up individual state officials who run the elections in their states, like the Georgia Secretary of State, for example, and pressured them to flip election results from Biden to Trump. The call with the Georgia Secretary of State is on, is recorded. You can find it on YouTube right now if you want. You just Google Trump phone call with Georgia Secretary of State if you want to do that. Trump pressured individual lawmakers in state legislatures to come out and say that Trump won and Biden lost in their states. He pressured governors. You know, he pressured senators. Now, on the state level, most politicians showed courage. We talked about this before. It's a rare quality for them. It is to be applauded whenever it shows itself, however weak its showing is. And, like, these Republicans that Trump pressured did the right thing and did not lie for him. They said he lost, you know, which is hard when the president of your party is pushing you to do something and you're a little state legislature and you say no, legislator, sorry. But a lot of people did that. Like, so, you know, then Trump kept lying to you and made a big speech on the Capitol about how the election was stolen on January 6th and sent a violent mob to invade the Capitol building as the election was being certified in Congress. I mean, as Biden's win was, like, being legally certified. It's like the win was already done, but there's a formal ceremony in Congress to make it official. And Trump sent a mob over there to disrupt it. I don't really blame the mob because they were... I mean, I blame some of them because some of them knew better. But many of them didn't, and they believed what Trump said. Like, and that's okay. I mean, you know, that is what it is. Like, he convinced people that he won the election. But he didn't. And this is the thing is, I've been thinking about this for a long time. I've been thinking about talking to you about this for a long time. But I don't know how to convince you that Trump attempted a takeover of our government when he lost an election, or when he won an election that he lost. I could have sat here for 2 hours and read off facts, like, for example, the name of the Georgia Secretary of State and the names of the individual lawmakers that Trump pressured. You know, I could do that. I could explain to you. So Trump's lawyer, Sidney Powell, went on television and said that in states Biden won, a company called Dominion Voting Systems, which was in charge of operating certain voting machines that we used in certain state elections, in certain states for the presidential election, had been hacked by a conspiracy of, like, Venezuela and China to make Biden win. It was a crazy claim. It was proven untrue. And then later, Sidney Powell said that she hadn't intended that anybody listening take her seriously. But I don't know that me listing a bunch of facts would do any good. Because, you know, you have access to all this stuff if you'd like to Google it. And many of you still believe that Trump's a great guy. I don't know how that's possible, but it's certainly true. So I'm just telling you that in my opinion, in my well-researched, very considered opinion, Mr. Trump attempted a coup. A coup is just a fancy French word for, like, illegal government takeover. And so I don't care what Trump's policies are, good or bad or horrible, because he did the only thing I think you can't do, which is he attempted a coup. He tried to steal power, and I believe he'll do it again. I believe that whether he wins in November or loses in November, he will attempt to become president again in a coup. I mean, if he wins in November, even though a president can only serve for 8 years, I believe he will attempt to serve another third illegal term. I don't know how he'll do it, but I would bet my nuts and my life and all my money that he will. He'll attempt it. He'll cancel the election, or he'll lie, or he'll start a war and then cancel an election. It doesn't matter. He'll attempt a coup. But also, if he loses, he will say the election is rigged, which is what he said in 2020, and he'll attempt a coup again. You know. So I can't trust him with power. Otherwise, it would be much less of a big deal. Like, look, you know, in a democracy, sometimes you're not going to get what you want. Your guy or girl is going to lose, and you'll get the opposite of what you want. If you're a Democrat and a Republican wins, you're going to get a bunch of legislation and laws that you don't want. The president will do things and say things that you don't like, and the Senate will pass bills you don't like, and yada, 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 you know? And the same thing happens if you're a Republican and a Democrat wins. You're going to get a bunch of policy that you don't want. But that's democracy for you. Your people don't win sometimes. But then later on they do win and give you what you want, and round we go. And it's worked out pretty well for like 200 and some odd years for us. It's made us the richest, most powerful country in the world. With a good, you know, I mean, we're one of the best countries in the entire world. I'll say the best. I feel like we're the best country. I mean, you know, I know it's probably not true on paper. We can find some tiny little Nordic country that beats us out on statistics, but we're a huge country. We're 350 million people. So we have plenty of stuff to work on, but our system has done very well for us. You know, we've made so much progress, it would take me 3 hours to list all the progress we've made since we were founded. And I think much of that has to do with our legal system. I mean, our whole form of government. Our democratic morals. Like, you know, we as Americans are great people. The best people. You know, and I think that has a lot to do with the system we created for ourselves. And I think Trump wants to rip it all down just because he wants to be powerful. I don't think he gives a shit about anything that's a democracy-related thing. Nothing that's a Republican-related thing. Republic, you know, like, I mean, I'm not talking about political parties. I'm saying the guy would run his country like a king if he could. He would be king of America if he could swing it. I firmly believe that, and that's why I don't like him. I really hate him, actually. That's why. It's not because he is an idiot, and it's not because a lot of his policies are bad. It's not because he has horrible, divisive political rhetoric. These are all things I very much don't like, but they don't rise to the level of attempting a coup, which is what Trump did. He tried to disrupt the peaceful transition of power in this country, a thing that has never been done before. Rabid political enemies handed power to one another all the time here. And I want to make sure that continues to happen. And, you know, Trump makes it way less likely that continues. I believe that if Trump becomes president again, we may be looking at a Julius Caesar situation, or like a situation where a guy is elected president and then becomes a dictator like Hitler did. I don't mean that Trump is Hitler. I mean that Trump is a wannabe authoritarian leader. He's a wannabe emperor. He's a wannabe dictator. And if you elect him, you're making it more likely... Sorry, not even if you elect him. If you vote for him, you're making it more likely that happens. And I like my democracy. And you, I believe that most of you Trump voters, if you're still with me here, like democracy too. I don't actually believe... A lot of my friends are like, oh, you know... A lot of my friends are like, oh, Trump voters want, sorry, I got distracted by my hernia. Sucks. Sorry. I hear a lot of people on the left say, oh, all Trump voters are secret Nazis. They don't want democracy. They want authoritarian rule. They want one-man rule in America. I don't believe that. I believe that most of you value our democracy just as much as I do, and you simply believe that what I'm saying about Trump is a bunch of bullshit and nonsense. You probably think I have anti-Trump derangement syndrome, or whatever the fuck it's called. Trump derangement syndrome. I can't keep it together. Whatever. You know, you just think I'm wrong and I'm lying. I hope you don't think I'm lying. I hope you just think I'm wrong. But, you know, and that's the thing, is that's the con he's done. He's conned you into thinking that he didn't do that, that he did not attempt to seize power illegally, but he did. It's the reason I oppose him. It's the primary reason I oppose him. I mean, to be completely clear with you, I thought that he was in our bottom three presidents of all time before this happened. So I'm no fan of Donald Trump's. I really don't like him politically. But... His attempted coup just made him the worst president ever by a huge amount. I don't care if he suddenly came out on television and took on my exact political personality. I don't care if Trump said, hey, everybody, I've listened to The Blind Spot and every political position Jay has ever mentioned he's for. I am now for. I couldn't vote for him even then because he attempted to steal the last election, and that means no one should vote for him. And, like, that's where I'm at with Trump, and that's the big thing. So the thing about it is, like, look, there's a lot of valid criticism of Joe Biden. Joe Biden's clearly fucking old. He's clearly lost a step. It's clear that he often misspeaks. He was just on Seth Meyers last week, and, was asked about the 2024 election and started talking about 2020. He said the wrong year and didn't notice. So clearly Biden's lost a step. I grant that. I acknowledge that. And where is Biden going to be in 3 years? Older, and it's going to be worse. I acknowledge that too. But I believe that if Biden loses an election, he will step aside and say, I lost. And after 8 years, Biden will step down as president because that's what you're supposed to do. I'm saying, I think that Biden is a good guy. I mean, morally speaking, I think he's a good guy. I think he believes in American values and what this country is. Now, that does not mean that Biden believes all the things you do. Maybe Biden's pro-choice and you're pro-life, or Biden wants higher taxes and you want lower taxes, or whatever the hell it is. Whatever it happens to be, okay? I have my own political disagreements with Joe Biden myself, but that's not the point. Like, because character really matters. That's what I've come to realize ever since Trump stepped on stage. Like, I'd much rather vote for a good person I disagree with than a bad person who says what I want to hear. And I think Trump's a bad person all around. You know, he's not fighting for you. He doesn't give a fuck. He just wants to avoid going to prison. And so he's running for president because if he becomes president, he can crush the charges against him. And he wants to take power and rule this country like a king. And that's not cool. I don't dig that. I'm not interested in that. And it's very bad. I mean, like, the best part about this country is that in this country, we have the ability to debate every single issue we care about. We can argue about it for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years until we decide what we're going to do. And that's great. That's the whole point of the country. And this is why I'm okay with people who have serious policy differences from me. It's okay to disagree with me. I mean, look, you know, if you've been listening to this episode, or if you're a regular listener of my show, you're going to hear opinions from me that you agree with and opinions from me that you disagree with. And that's good. I mean, that's how it's supposed to be. I don't know one person I agree with on everything. Not one. And that's good. I mean, that's what the whole point of democracy is we can yell at each other and argue and debate and vote and bitch and then, like, you know, come to some type of consensus, all without shooting one another. And, like, you know, if one man says, here's how it's going to be, it doesn't work like that, you know. And if a person is elected and you don't like what he's doing, you kick him out and elect somebody else. It's a great system. And Trump wants to destroy it, and I'm against that. I'm just categorically against that. So, like, listen, so here's the thing. Yeah, Joe Biden has problems. I grant that. I'm not trying to deny that one little bit. I happen to think that so far, Joe Biden's been a great president. I think he's been the best president we've had since either George Bush Sr. or Lyndon Johnson. You know, that Lyndon Johnson was president in 1966 or whatever. So I'm saying, you know, Biden's one of my favorite presidents for a long time. But the guy is getting older every day. He's clearly struggling with some type of age-related issues. And it only gets worse because time only goes in one direction. But, like, all that being said, you know, Joe Biden could go on television tomorrow and skin a dog alive on TV. And then, like, you know, dump salt water over it and burn it to death. And then do that again every fucking day until election day. And I would still vote for Joe Biden and endorse him entirely. I will be begging every person who can breathe in this country to go vote for Biden. Because he's not Trump. Biden is not going to destroy democracy. That's the thing. Is the worst possible take on Biden is he's a bad president who you disagree with. But we've survived those before. You know, we've survived 20 of those. Not every president is Abraham Lincoln. You know. So that's nothing new for us. We can deal with bad presidents all the time. If a president... I gotta yawn. Oh! I hate having to lie in bed. I'm sorry, everybody. But, like, you know, if a president opposes you on everything, it sucks. I remember George Bush Jr. being president, and I hated that guy. I used to call him, like, a little monkey man. I was so pissed because he, like, mispronounced things on television, and I didn't like the Iraq War, and George Bush wanted to enact immigration reform where he let a bunch of illegal immigrants stay in the country. I hated that. He wanted to you know, cut taxes and lower government spending. I didn't want that. He was against gay marriage. I didn't want that. He was pro-abortion and anti... sorry, I got that backwards. He was against abortion. I didn't want that. You know, I could go on and on. Oh, he was against climate change. I didn't want that. You know, plenty of shit I didn't want from George Bush. But George Bush was not going to end the Republic. Not even close. Not even a war that drained our resources, wasted our treasure and blood, like Iraq, was going to do that. You know, Iraq was a stupid thing for us. It wasted our money and our people and our time and our energy for fucking 8 years. What a waste. You know, except that, I mean, we did kind of make a democracy over there. So if it lasts, it's kind of like, well, it was a dumb thing to do, but at least something good came out of it. But I mean, that being said, like, even with that war, you know, George Bush wasn't going to end the Republic. The country goes on. That's the thing. So, like, I'm not opposing Trump because I happen to disagree with him on NATO or something. Although, I would oppose him just based on policy. But it would be a far different opposition. I oppose Trump because I think if Trump wins, we won't have a country anymore. He will destroy everything good about this country, by which I mean our form of government itself. I know you think, if you're a Trump person, I'm exaggerating, or being hysterical or whatever. Well, I'm telling you, I don't think I am. That's what I've been trying to say. I think I'm being perfectly rational and perfectly reasonable. I don't know how to prove it to you. I really don't. I have no idea. I used to think for years, oh, some piece of news is going to come out that'll break the fever for some of these people. And look, you know, I get it. Like, I loved Obama. I thought Obama was a great guy. He was a good president and a great guy. That's my Obama take. But, I mean, I liked watching Obama at press conferences. I liked his whole demeanor. I liked his manner. I liked watching him give speeches. I liked watching him at the science fair with little kids. I just liked that guy a lot. He was, like, he just was everything I wanted in a president as far as he acted. I don't mean everything he did, because he did a bunch of dumb shit. We don't have to get into it. I mean, I'd give Obama a B plus maybe as president, but he still did a bunch of dumb shit. But I really liked that guy. I really liked that guy, and I had an emotional connection to him, you know, which is dumb, but I mean, it's true. And so I understand, I think, some of how you guys feel about Donald Trump. You know, you like him. You have an emotional connection. You dig his fucking jib, the cut of his jib, his style, you know. And you like what he's done. Fair enough. Like, fair enough, man. It's not my business to tell you what you should think about policy. I'm trying to say, like, if you think there should be zero abortions in this country, I think you're fucking really wrong. Especially if you say there should be no abortions, even in cases of rape and incest. I find that a really bad policy position. I find it fucked up and gross, because if some chick gets raped, you're making her carry that child to term. I find that horrendous. But my point isn't that I can change your mind on policy. It's not that I wouldn't do it if I could. It's that I understand that, like, I'm just some guy on a podcast. I'm not going to be able to make a comment on abortion, I don't think, that'll make you suddenly be like, oh, my deep convictions are wrong. So that's not the argument I'm making. I'm not telling you to be against Trump because of the policies that you agree with him on. I understand that you're going to think those things if Trump died tomorrow. Your policy positions are not going to change. I understand that. And, you know, it's a democracy and it's a free country. So, I mean, you are, like, if you're anti-abortion, like, good for you. I'm not. Good for me, you know? And that's how I really feel about most of this shit. For me to not like you, I think you need to hate black people or something. It can't just be a policy thing. It's a democracy. It's a free country. Think what you want. Believe what you want. You know, but I will tell you that all this debate and free speech shit goes out the window if we have an emperor or a Caesar or a king. You know? And I know it seems very weird to think about that happening here, because it's never happened here in our entire history. Since 1776, we have not been ruled by a king in this country, on this continent, ever since we threw out George III, which is like ancient history. So I know it seems like it could not happen here, but of course it could. Even a great system like ours is not unbreakable. And it could easily break, And that would be very bad. Because then we wouldn't get to have these discussions anymore. And the problem is, a dictator is fine when he agrees with you on everything and is doing what you want. But you have no guarantees a dictator will agree with you all the time. And when he doesn't, there's nothing you can do. I mean, look at Russia. If you don't like the way Russia's... There's an old joke. Okay. I hope I tell it right. The joke is an old joke from when Russia was the Soviet Union that Ronald Reagan used to tell. The joke is, how's it go? A Russian and an American are, you know, somewhere where both of those people would be. And they're talking to one another. They're in conversation. And, you know, the American says to the Russian, you know what I love about my country? I like that, you know, if I don't like what the president is doing, I can go into the Oval Office. I can walk up to the desk. I can pound on the president's desk and say, sir, I don't like how you're running this country. And the Russian says, I can do that. And the American says, you can? And the Russian says, sure, you know, I can walk into the Oval Office. I can walk up to the president's desk and I can pound on that desk and say, Mr. President, I don't like how you're running your country. You know, if that joke didn't land, the joke is that the Russian guy couldn't do that in Russia. And the Russians have created another fucking country now where they still can't do that, you know. And that sucks. I mean, they've created another bad country. Nothing new for them. They've been doing it for 500 years. But I mean, I don't want to be that. I don't want us to be that. I want no part of that shit. You know, dictatorships are for barbarians and weak people who fucking allow them to happen. And the problem is, I hate to fearmonger, but I am scared that we are rapidly approaching that situation. This election is literally the most important election that's ever happened in this country. If Trump wins, he's going to try and steal power for himself again and try and make himself a dictator. It's that simple. And honestly, like, I hope I'm wrong, but I'm not. I'm right. And it's like a slow-motion car crash where I see it coming and I don't know what to do about it. I see it coming. I mean, like, Trump and Biden are pretty much neck and neck in the polls right now. Some polls show Biden up a little. Some polls show Trump up a little. Some are even, you know. And Nikki Haley is not going to win the Republican primary, barring a miracle. So it'll be Trump versus Biden. And Biden is not popular. He's not a popular president. Part of it is that he looks like a guy who died and then crawled back out of his coffin and is now president again. I understand that. Like, I understand all of that. You know, I like Joe Biden a lot. Even though I recognize he's lost a step. But I recognize that as personal preference. And I'm a Democrat. I mean, I'm a left-leaning independent if I'm not a Democrat. You know, I would be like a person who says he's independent but always votes Democrat if I voted. So, like, I understand it's easier for me to like Joe Biden than it is for you if you're a Republican to like Joe Biden. I understand that. I understand there's plenty of legitimate policy disagreements to have with Mr. Biden on everything. I mean, like, the guy has, like, let the southern border become a fucking just, oh my god, I don't even want to talk about it. I'll get another hernia. You know, so there's, I mean, just saying, there's plenty of reasons to disagree with Joe Biden. You can disagree with him from a Republican side, or you can disagree with him because he's aiding Israel against Hamas, or I don't know, there's 1,000 reasons to disagree with this guy. Because you disagree with his tax policy, or his thing on transgender people, or I don't care, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. But I'm saying Joe Biden is going to respect the rules of the road that we've built up over 250 years. Trump isn't. It's that simple. That's it. That's the only thing that matters right now. And, you know, if you're a Trump voter and if you've managed to get this far, first of all, thanks. But second of all, you know, I would urge you to go Google stuff you haven't Googled. I mean, you can start with Trump's phone call to the Georgia Secretary of State, you know. Or maybe the testimony of Cassidy Hutchinson, who was the right-hand woman to Trump's chief of staff, Mark Meadows. There's a thousand places to start. Because, you know, if you folks think that Tucker Carlson is like the end-all be-all of the news, you're wrong, he's not. You know, and like, I know we're all in our own echo chambers and they're more comfortable than like, you know, non-echo chambers. But I urge you all to, like, get out of your echo chambers and start looking around. I'll talk about this again on a later show, but I did want to just kind of give you some of my thoughts. I don't know how well I did, but I am very worried about this upcoming election. I worry that Trump will win and then not give up power because I love this country. I love this country a lot. I'm not a religious man. My faith is in America, in what we've built, and what we'll continue to build. I think we're one of the greatest countries on earth, intellectually. But in my heart, I think we're the greatest country ever. And I want to keep it that way. And to keep it that way, we need to keep our democracy. And to do that, Trump needs to lose election. And, you know, I think Trump's an asshole and stuff. I mean, he's an arrogant, narcissistic prick, you know. I don't care about that. I don't care about him personally. I just don't care, you know. I mean, when I used to see him before he was president, I just thought, oh, there's some rich, arrogant guy. You know, they exist. Just like, you know, other groups of people exist. I don't care. This is not like a thing like that. I just think that what Trump is doing is horrendously bad. I mean, I do hate him for that because I think he's destroying a thing I love for his own selfish ends. He just wants power. And I want you guys to stop backing him. I don't understand why you're doing that. I assume it's because you don't know that he's going to attempt a coup again. And I assume that it's because you don't believe he attempted to illegally take the government over before. I don't think too many Americans want to live under a dictator. So anyway, that's it for today. I mean, that was my main thing I wanted to talk about. So thanks for listening, everybody. This has been the latest episode of The Blind Spot. And, you know, like and subscribe and, you know, tell your friends and all that shit. Appreciate you guys, and peace out.